What is God doing right now?
If God is everywhere, why can't I see him anywhere?
Where is God?
Where is God?
Why is there so much suffering?
Why does God let this happen?
Why won't God answer my prayers?
Who's going to heaven?
How come? Why?
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 What's the point?
What for?
Now it's time for some straight answers to awkward questions with Pastor George Samianch.
What can you say about Judas? Hello, welcome to Straight Answers to Awkward Questions on Lutheran Radio UK. I'm George Samietz, an ELC pastor serving in Suffolk at Ascension Lutheran Church in Brandon, and also looking after the ELC congregations in Cambridge and Coventry. You can find all the details of the ELCE at lutheran.co.uk. Today's question can arise at any time, but probably more so in Holy Week, the week before Jesus' crucifixion, where his arrest occurred and then his crucifixion on the basis of a betrayal by one of Jesus' disciples, one of the 12, Judas Iscariot. This event of betrayal is the time setting when Christians hear the words of institution for each Holy Communion. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. My sense is that people hear such words as largely a time stamp, but if we pause and ponder and think about that time and what Jesus did for the world, then we won't go too far without hearing about and considering Judas. And then, when the focus is on him, we do wonder how and why a betrayal could happen. What sort of person was Judas? Who was he? What can you say about Judas? Not a huge amount. That's not to say that there isn't quite a deal of material written about Judas over the centuries, with a particular segment of writing aligned to the treatment and persecution of the Jews. Thus, Judas became more a type than a person, so he can be seen as a sinner, usually controlled by greed. And here, throughout history, we can get the anti-Semitic overlap. Or Judas is seen as something much worse, a devil to betray the Lord of life. Then you have an opposite view in that Judas is a heroic type, someone who meant his actions for good, and if not for him, Jesus wouldn't have fulfilled his saving mission. Lastly, Judas has been viewed as an object of legend, who attracts all sorts of stories designed to teach the hearers certain lessons. Books still today on Judas will fall into these categories. So what does the Bible say? Judas is always associated with his deed of betrayal. His name is common, and so he is distinguished also by the name Iscariot, and with the reference in John's account of the Gospel to the fact that his father's name was Simon. Iscariot is understood to be saying that he is a man of Kerioth, which is a place, but we're not sure which one. Jeremiah and Amos mention a Kerioth in Moab, but there was also a Kerioth Hezron, 19 kilometers south of Hebron, and people generally go for this location and set up theories of Judas being educated over against Galilean fishermen, or a north-south Galilee-Judea tension. Iscariot is also considered by some not to be a place, but a hint at the type of person Judas was. And so, with some working with Aramaic and Greek, theories exist that his name refers to such things as bandit, assassin, cutthroat, or deceit, fraud, falsehood. All this material over the centuries continues to stir the story, with details people so desperately desire. The story from the Bible is well known. Judas was one of the 12, chosen by Jesus to be an apostle, and was with Jesus as a close disciple. He was the group's treasurer, handled the group finances, so to speak, and is noted as objecting to what he saw as the waste of an expensive ointment which Mary used to anoint Jesus for burial, see John chapter 12, an action Jesus defended. After the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, Judas and the Jewish authorities agree to work together to have Jesus arrested or securely held, and for this inside information and having Jesus in custody, Judas received 30 pieces of silver. Jesus is not unaware of what is going on, and on a number of occasions speaks to Judas about what he is doing, while the other disciples remain oblivious. though aware that a betrayal is at hand because Jesus says this will happen. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Judas brings the soldiers, identifies Jesus with a kiss, and job done. However, Matthew records that Judas, when seeing what was happening to Jesus and where this would end with Jesus' death, returns the money, which is acknowledged as blood money, and then Judas commits suicide with hanging in Matthew, or he dies having purchased a field of some sort of fall and disemboweling in Acts, or somehow a combination of the two. This is the basic story upon which much is speculated and theorized. So you can read explanations of Judas' behavior as because of a love of money, jealousy of the other disciples, fear about where Jesus was heading in terms of his cross talk, Son of Man will die, take up your cross, disappointment that Jesus' messianic kingdom was becoming further and further not what Judas had in mind, an attempt to force Jesus' hand so he could show his power. Jesus had just prior raised Lazarus from the dead. Revenge somehow, maybe for 3 wasted years. There's far too much speculation here for me. We need to return to what the Bible does say and what we can reasonably deduce from that. Closer inspection of each New Testament writer shows similarities and differences in relation to Judas. John makes it clear that he sees Judas as acting from a love of money, which explains his thieving from the common purse. Matthew supports this with Judas going to the chief priests and asking, "What will you give me if I deliver him to you?" Mark and Luke records the interaction as the chief priests being glad and offering Judas money. I think it is a chicken and egg situation here about the details that the disciples weren't exactly witnesses of, though who knows what was said in the garden at the time of the arrest, and what the disciples thought afterwards as they put it all together. The records remain clear that Judas sought out the Jewish leadership, and money was involved. But we're not that much closer to an understanding of why. And betrayal is devastating precisely because of the trust broken, and because it is unforeseen, a shock, something that turns your world upside down. Luke records an explanation in terms of Satan. In Luke chapter 22 we hear, "Then Satan entered into Judas called Iscariot, who was of the number of the 12." John records Jesus at the end of chapter 6, after Jesus taught about eating the flesh of the Son of Man and drinking his blood, and having many disciples leave him, we hear from verse 67, "So Jesus said to the 12, 'Do you want to go away as well?' Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed, and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God.' Jesus answered them, 'Did I not choose you, the 12? And yet one of you is a devil.'" He spoke of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him. Later at the Last Supper, John records, this is in chapter 13, "After saying these things, Jesus was troubled in his spirit and testified, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me.' The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he spoke. One of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, was reclining at table at Jesus' side. So Simon Peter motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So that disciple, leaning back against Jesus, said to him, 'Lord, who is it?' Jesus answered, 'It is he to whom I will give this morsel of bread when I have dipped it.' So when he had dipped the morsel, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Then after he had taken the morsel, Satan entered into him. Jesus said to him, 'What you are going to do, do quickly.' Now no one at the table knew why he said this to him. Some thought that, because Judas had the money bag, Jesus was telling him, 'Buy what we need for the feast,' or that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the morsel of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night." Now the question arises, what does it mean that Satan entered Judas? Is Judas possessed? Is he now a robot, so to speak? Could it be said that he is not responsible for what he will do? Another perspective is the reference to Jesus' betrayal as a fulfillment of Scripture and Jesus' warning about the fate of the betrayer. So we hear in Mark chapter 14, And when it was evening, he came with the 12. And as they were reclining at table and eating, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be sorrowful and say to him one after another, "Is it I?" He said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the dish with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." John records Jesus' prayer in the garden in chapter 17, part of which is, "And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost, except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled." Again, similar questions arise, though now it isn't Satan as the cause of Judas' behavior, but God as the ultimate puppet master. This makes things even worse if Judas is punished and lost forever, damned, because of his actions, for now God is directly responsible in this situation. Judas's behavior raises important questions about God and goodness, sin and responsibility, predestination and foreknowledge, which are often raised because it seems incomprehensible that Judas could turn in Jesus. I'm not surprised at such questions. It is good to ask them. It is where one gets one's answers that is important. My starting point would be that if Jesus the scapegoat, carrying the world's sins, needs a scapegoat to get arrested, then something is wrong. What we have with Judas is a face or behavior that is incomprehensible. We can only go so far in understanding it. There is a mystery here, but it is not incomprehensible that people sin. We don't fully understand the first sin that entered our world, but we maintain that it is the fault of Adam and Eve and no one else that sin is here. Similarly, we don't fully understand ourselves at times, our behavior. The good we want to do, we don't. The bad we struggle against, that we do. Our sinful behavior can be mysterious, even to us. And we know deep down, it is our fault, and no one else's, that our sin is here. Similarly with Judas. His sins are his, which God used to be sure, but didn't script Judas to be damned. To the question, what if Judas hadn't carried out the betrayal? I'd reply that it is impossible to answer, but some other event would have happened that would have resulted in Jesus' crucifixion. What we're facing, of course, isn't some other event, but Judas and what he's done. And to this, I'd now point to the many times Jesus reached out to Judas to alert him, to try and get him to see the path he was on, and that there is always with Jesus hope, mercy, and forgiveness. When we hear Jesus saying in Luke, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing," I wonder whether he also had Judas in mind. It would make sense to me that Judas didn't knowingly choose damnation, even as he chose money, or disassociated himself from Jesus. And in this, he didn't know the full consequences of what he was doing. His remorse suggests his regret, but not his repentance. To the theories that Judas was never a true disciple of Jesus, because he betrayed Jesus, I disagree. If the implication here is that a true disciple of Jesus could not betray Jesus. The struggle with sin, that is our constant lot as Christians, is a real one, with real consequences, especially when sin gets the upper hand, which it does usually starting with self-deception. But we struggle with our sin precisely because Jesus' victory is secure and permanent. Nevertheless, people can choose behavior and stick to it that leads them deliberately away from Jesus. Jesus didn't choose Judas so that he would fail, but so that he would be part of the apostolic ministry to the world. The disciples, when praying for Judas's replacement, described Judas as turning aside to go to his own place, which is a good description of the mystery of what happened, even as Jesus reached out to him. When the scriptures talk about being fulfilled in relation to Judas, we should go to at least two Old Testament references. One is a Psalm of David, and the other an advisor to David who betrays David. In Psalm 41, a psalm for God's graciousness, David is seeking God's help and acknowledging it when he is poor and under various attacks, including that from his enemies. In verse 9 we hear, "Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me." This is rejection, and some say that the reference to lifting his heel against him is about defrauding, and to support this we have Jacob the cheat holding on to Esau's heel at birth. I'm not sure that the argument can be pushed that far, and I don't think you need to, for the image of picking up a shoe to throw is well known as a form of rejection and derision. This brings to mind one of David's advisers, possibly his most trusted, Ahithophel, who sided with Absalom and whose advice was strategic and sound against David, but was not followed through by Absalom. When Ahithophel saw the writing on the wall, so to speak, he went home, set his house in order, and hanged himself. Just as we look at the last chapters of Zechariah and see in them the last week of Jesus' life before his crucifixion, and just as we search the law, the prophets, and the Psalms to find Jesus, so we may also find references to other players in the divine drama. And in this case, we might regard these two Old Testament passages as also being fulfilled by Judas. So what can we say about Judas? Yes, he sinned by betraying Jesus and getting him arrested when there were no crowds about. His sin is serious. But he is not the only disciple who sins. Peter denies Jesus, lies about his past 3 years. 9 disciples flee the garden and go into hiding and abandon Jesus. John seems to do the right thing after the initial hightailing away from the arrest, but that doesn't make him sinless. So Judas's sin is not unforgivable. But when Judas cuts himself off from Jesus, from the disciples, and from life, then all he is left with is his life and his deeds, and that is so sad and tragic, for our life and our deeds only end in death and judgment. In Judas, we see the mystery of sin that doesn't follow Jesus and wants to go its own way. We see sin isolate and cause despair, and Judas stands as a warning to us all. But no matter our troubles, our betrayals, our denials, our sins, however they emerge, there is still always Jesus reaching out to us so that our sins need not imprison us. If you'd like some straight answers, send your awkward questions to me, George Samyets, at Lutheran Radio UK. That is at info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Goodbye.